of the verses in Hebrews 11 is Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it starts off by saying, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This series on faith we're doing is absolutely critical. It is crucial. It is a foundational part if you want to say, I am a Christian.
Right.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you may be going, thank goodness I showed up for this series. Yes, you are. You should be very thankful you showed up for this series. Because today we're going to walk through what are some of the ways you can grow in your faith. Because as we just saw, it is foundational. It is critical. It is crucial. You must have faith if you want to please God. And so as David kind of mentioned, some of the ways I love to teach is through stories. I love stories. They speak to me. And so I'm going to use a story to kind of walk us through today. And so if you want to open up your Bible, we're going to be working through 1 Samuel 17. So whether you've been in church one day, whether you've been in church longer than I've been alive, you've probably at least heard of David and Goliath. That's, one of the most popular stories from the Bible. You know, you could walk down the convenience store and they've probably at least heard of David and Goliath. They might not have heard of Jesus, but they probably have heard of David and Goliath. So we're going to walk through this story. We're going to pick up in verse 8. Verse 8, 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. It says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man, let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's word, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Saul, by the way, is the king of Israel. So it's never a good thing when your ultimate leader is being described as dismayed and terrified. So that's not a great start when we're picking up the Israelites here. Why are they dismayed and terrified? Okay, a little background on Goliath. Goliath is almost 10 feet tall. He's showing up in massive armor. He's got a huge spear. I mean, he is the definition of a mammoth of a man. And he's challenging. He's like, we don't even need to fight, guys. You guys line up, we line up. Like, let's not fight each other because then some people are going to die. You just send me one guy. If he can happen to beat me, wink, wink, you guys win. That's fantastic. But small cash to this 1v1 deal, if I happen to win, the 10-foot guy with the massive spear and everything, if I happen to win, you guys have to serve us. Really fair deal, okay? Also, we can kind of read into the scripture a little bit. Most people don't offer a 1v1 fight to the death unless they're pretty confident they're going to win. Like we learn a little bit later in the scripture, Goliath happens to be an undefeated champion. In 1v1 fighting, there's usually only undefeated champions. Because everyone else is dead. You know, like, you show up, and if you're the undefeated champion, we figure that out, Goliath, because you're still breathing, okay? So go figure you want us to send out one guy to fight you. He's pretty confident. He's being a little smug right now, and you can probably guess why, being at 10 feet tall. He's probably like 61-0, and this is just an average day's work for the man. The Israelites, as Saul in the group has discovered, this is not an average day's work. They don't happen to have a man who's also 10 feet tall, and we're dismayed and terrified. Luckily, Goliath is not the only character in this chapter. There's another character in this chapter, and I'll mention him, David. Okay? David is the other character in this chapter. He is the youngest of 8 brothers. We talked about a younger guy last week with David. He told us about Joseph. Youngest sibling. We got another youngest sibling in the house today, David. He's got 7 older brothers. 3 of them are out at this battle. The 3 oldest brothers are already up at this battle. David's the youngest, and his dad, Jesse's like, hey, go take some bread and some cheese to your brothers and kind of give me a report. Kind of tell me what's going on. Give me the lowdown, the rundown of what's going down at this battle. So David, the youngest, packs up his cheese and bread, and he's going to head out and try to get us a report at what's happening. And we kind of already get the story. Things are not going well. But they don't know that, so that's why they're sending bread and cheese in return for some notes here. So we pick up the story in verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped up from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. We fast forward a little bit. This is not the first time this happened. This has been happening for weeks, okay? The Israelites, they'll come out. I don't even know why they bother to shout their war cry. They already know what's happening. They've been doing this for weeks. They show up. Goliath taunts them. They all are dismayed. They flee in terror, okay? This is like a daily routine. Like, it's almost comical to the Philistines at this point. Like, they're just toying. Have you ever seen, like, a predator kind of toy with its food? This is what's happening to the poor Israelites, okay? They show up. They give their little battle cry. Yeah. Goliath comes out and says, I heard a battle cry. Was that something? Dude, you guys sending somebody forward finally today? And they're all like, oh, no. No, hard pass. Back to the tents, everyone. We'll see you guys tomorrow for the same thing, bright and early. So that's when David shows up. David shows up with his bread and cheese. Guys, how's it going? And as he's kind of greeting them, they're all running. David, meet us at the tents. Bring the bread and cheese. So he gets up there, and this is what he finds. And he's like, oh, Dad's not going to like this. Dad's not going to be happy about this. Old Jesse's not going to be thrilled that the oldest boys are tucking their tail and running. That's not what the Israelite army is supposed to do. So let's read on a little bit. Verse 25. Now the Israelites have been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. And all the people said, amen.
Amen.
We're like, why is this story not already over? Has no one stepped up? Son-in-law of the king, no taxes. This sounds like a good deal. Fun fact, though, you cannot use material things to build your faith. Mm-hmm. That's what we're learning real quick. That's what you can read in here. In this, material things are not what build your, they don't build your faith. You cannot put your faith in material things, especially when there's a 10-foot giant who happens to be undefeated in 1v1 fighting.
Right. Come on. Yeah. Good.
Verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So the story's been for weeks. No one takes on Goliath. This youngest brother shows up with bread and cheese, and he doesn't even refer to Goliath by his name. The undefeated champion, the mammoth of a man. David first describes this dude as a disgrace. Bold words from the young man. Okay? Everyone else is like, you haven't seen him, man. He has harsh words. He's tall. He's got a large spear. He's like, oh, did you mean the disgrace? They're like, yeah, you don't call him that. Oh, did you mean the uncircumcised Philistine? Which, by the way, in their culture was a massive put down. I mean, they were calling him the lowest of the lows when you describe him as an uncircumcised Philistine. You are a nobody. That's what David has to say. David doesn't even use his name, shows him no respect, calls him a disgrace, calls him an uncircumcised Philistine, and everyone's like, who the heck is this kid? And what kind of bread and cheese you eating, bro? But this is a key moment in the scripture because we realize somebody has just walked into the Israelite camp with a different perspective than the rest of the army. See, perspective can hold you back or it can push you forward. And we immediately learn that we've got an army and their perspective is holding them back. They're real great at getting back to the tents when Goliath shows up. But now we've got somebody showing up and his perspective is pushing him forward. He immediately starts going, who is this disgrace? Who is this lowest of low? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, it's interesting that David is describing God as a living God. See, here's the thing. Some of you may have walked in today and you feel like there's a giant in your life defying you, calling you out. And you may feel like you're breaking your battle lines and faith is being robbed from you. We lack faith sometimes. That's what's happening to the Israelite army. Somebody is lacking faith. And by somebody, I mean all of them. There hasn't been one guy to step up and take up the king on his offer for free taxes and to become his son-in-law. They all lack faith. A lack of faith is a breeding ground for fear. Yeah. A lack of faith is a breeding ground for fear. That's what David has walked into. He's walked into a camp that lacks faith, and fear is abounding. We got a lot of fear on the buffet, and we got a lack of faith. Perspective can hold you back, or it can push you forward. See, it's interesting that David refers to the Lord. This is the living God that we serve. It's the living God. He's active. He's active. He's living. See, here's the thing. Is I think there's two reasons the Israelite army had yet to have a man step forward. An overarching theme is a lack of faith, of course. But why? Why did they lack faith? I think there's two types of people who lack faith. I was talking to a new friend of mine, Mike, about this. One of those lacks of faith is they don't believe God is still who he says he is. I've read the Bible. I see what God used to do, but he doesn't do that anymore. Okay, the Israelites, I remember that God got us out of Egypt and he brought us into the promised land and he won us all those victories, but God doesn't do that anymore. He's not active in that way. He's not living like that anymore. And people lack faith that God is still who he says he is. There's people like that. I think there was people like that in the Israelite army. They remember what God did, but he doesn't do that anymore. He's not in that business anymore. And Mike kind of pointed out a second group of people. They believe God's still active and he's still doing things. He's still living. And God might do that for David, or God might do that for Kalen, or God might do that for Mr. Johnson, but God's not going to do that for me. See, they believe that God is still active and he's still living, but he's not going to move in their life. We lack faith that God is still living, but also willing and able to move through us. And it robs us of our faith. We still love God can still do some stuff over here, but he's not going to do stuff for me. He's not still living, willing, and able to move in my life. And because of those two factors, we find an Israelite army that doesn't have one man willing to believe in God and step up to Goliath. The same people that have had story after story of what God has done for their people. Perspective can hold you back or it can push you forward. Let's keep reading. Verse 28. Thank goodness it's up here. I've lost it somewhere in my book. The wind has blown it over. Verse 28. Stop blowing over. Here we go. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Whew. Older brother, throw in some punches. He's also speaking out of insecurity. But he puts that in. Why aren't you keeping the few sheep out in the desert? You've only come down to watch the battle, bro. See, if I'm David, I'm getting a little sassy. I'm like, I brought you bread, I brought you cheese, don't treat me this way. I brought you the good stuff. Come down to watch the battle. I show up and you guys are breaking your battle lines. I'm sorry if I happen to miss the battle. I caught the tail end of it, I guess. Missed the battle. My behind, bro. David was a little kinder in his response. Verse 29, "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I not even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." The dude who was sent just to bring some bread and cheese is now before the king of Israel and says, "Don't lose heart. I'll go out and fight him." The youngest of all the siblings, the guy that was just supposed to be keeping a few sheep in the desert, is now telling the king, "Don't lose heart, king of all of Israel. I'll go fight him." See, somebody has walked in the camp with a perspective that is going to push them forward and not hold them back. How is that happening? How is that happening? To grow in our faith, we must go from being me-focused to God-focused. See, when he immediately shows up in the camp, who is this disgrace, this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of the living God? See, David knows this is not about me. This is about this dude is defying the Lord, who happens to be living, who happens to be willing, who happens to be able to take care of his business. I'm just going to be the dude that the Lord does it through if no one else is stepping up. We're going to find out why he believes that. But to grow in our faith, we first have to go from being me-focused to God-focused. See, the whole army was viewing it as what Goliath can do to me. And David happens to view it as the complete opposite. He views it as what God is going to do through me to Goliath.
Right.
Perspective can hold you back or it can push you forward. Everybody else sees what that giant's going to do to them. David's the only one that's showing up and seeing what God's going to do through me to this giant. Some of you may have circumstances that feel like giants in your life. They show up, they taunt you, they defy you, they make you break your battle lines, they rob you of your faith. And you're so worried about what your circumstances are going to do to you, but today is the day where you need to hold your battle line and speak back to your circumstances and say, I serve a living God who is willing and able to work through me, and you shift it back, and this is your problem, circumstance, this is your problem, giant, for showing up in my life.
Right.
Perspective can hold you back or it can push you forward. Verse 33. Saul replied, you are not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting a fighting man from his youth. Hint, hint, this dude's got a long undefeated record. He's been doing this a long time, and he's been winning a long time. You boy, you can't go fight him. You cannot fight him. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from his flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Notice David still doesn't even call him by his name. The undefeated champion who's been undefeated since he's been fighting from a boy, David still doesn't even give this dude the time of day. Doesn't even call him by his name. He's still Philistine. This disgrace. Do you notice what David draws his faith from? It's the exact same thing his brother Eliab put him down for doing. He tells the king of Israel, I've been a shepherd, the same thing my brother thought was worthless. And I've seen God do things in my life while I was doing something people tell me was worthless or not important, or I was the lowest of the lows. But I've seen God do things while I've been the lowest of the lows, and now I'm going to do something in front of your whole army that shows I still serve a living God. And so he goes, I've been a shepherd. I've seen a lion come into my field. I've seen a bear come into my field. And I've taken them both out. God, he says, God has rescued me from both the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And he will rescue me from the hand of the giant.
Yeah.
This is back to perspective. His perspective is, I have seen God be faithful and I will see God be faithful.
Right.
He's drawing upon what God has done and he knows what God will do because of that. See, so many people in that army, all they could see was what was before them, what that newest circumstance, what that giant was telling them. They weren't drawing upon what they've seen God do. All they could see is what this dude is going to do to them. Me-focused. David, what is it, David? He's God-focused. I've seen God rescue me. I've seen God rescue me, and I will see God rescue me.
Yeah.
If you want to grow in your faith, you've got to go from being me-focused to God-focused. What do lions and bears, what is their mission statement when they wander into that field to steal from his, quote, few sheep in the desert? They show up to steal, kill, and destroy. That sounds eerily like the business model of the enemy. That sounds eerily similar like what sin shows up in our life to do, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And David was having none of that in his fields. That lion comes in the field, that bear comes wandering in his field, he kills them. Some of you have showed up today and you're robbing yourself of your faith because you're not dealing with the lions and bears in your field. You've still got lions and bears wandering. I'm not talking about circumstances anymore. I'm talking about sin. You've got sin wandering in your field and you haven't dealt with it. You haven't seen God rescue you from the lion and from the bear. And so that's when the giant shows up. He's robbing you of your faith because you haven't seen God deal with the things in your life. To grow in our faith, we must remove the lions and bears from our fields. God has called us to keep those fields, to protect those fields, and we've got lions and bears wandering around in them. David let God, he focused on what God has done to know what God will do. Same thing, if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to remove the lions and bears from your fields. Moving along, verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with a shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. Wonder if David maybe helped write some of this part, maybe. Good writer, sir. Don't forget the ruddy and handsome part. I thought we're just trying to talk about you took down Goliath. Don't forget it. Make sure that's noted in verse 42. Good sir. He looked David over and saw that he was a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. Despised him. He said, David, am I a dog? Am I a dog? That you come at me with sticks, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He said, come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. This is not Goliath's first rodeo, as we know. Goliath knew how to talk smack. He was bored at this point. He said, I've been doing this for weeks. I live for 1v1 fighting. I was looking forward to this moment, just maybe a challenge for once. I'm 62-0, and this, after weeks, the Israelites send me this ruddy, handsome boy. Because I'm sure that's what Goliath said. He despised me. He was insulted. Wow. He was insulted that the Israelites, after all this, they send him a boy. The undefeated champion from Gath. They send me a boy. He's insulted. He's fired up. He starts talking smack. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed you the birds and the beasts of the field. And if you're David, you're like, oh, dear, you are this tall when I get close. Yes, Godspeed. Back to the tents, everyone. Like, you get up and close and personal to your circumstances sometimes. You thought you had courage when you looked at it a little far away, but you get down ready to do some fighting, and the circumstance doubles down. The giant speaks to you and starts calling you out and telling you what it's going to do. And this is your moment. You can either head back to the tents, or you can believe you serve a living God. You probably have already figured out, if we are still telling the story, the dude didn't back down. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you've defied. You've defied. Notice he, again, is turning the circumstance on itself. This is your problem, Goliath. You may be 62-0, but you made the mistake of showing up in our lives to defy the Lord. See, some of us aren't walking in victory. The victory was already won when Jesus showed up and paid the ultimate price for you to have victory. You didn't deserve heaven, but he still showed up. He gave you the victory. It was won before you were born, but your circumstances show up in your life and tell you, I'm going to rob you of that victory. And we have the audacity to focus on the circumstance before us rather than the victory that's already been won.
Right.
David's having none of this. He says, this day is the one we're talking about, right, Goliath? This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses, plural, of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. See, David, this was not me focused, this was God focused. He said, Goliath, you're talking to me, but let me tell you something, you're not talking just to me, you're talking to the Lord, and the Lord is going to show everybody it's not by the sword, it's not by the spear, it's not all the things we can touch and try to control that we're saved, it's by the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just here because the Lord is willing and able to move. You got a problem, Goliath. He doubles down. Goliath says, I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts. And David says, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to feed your whole army to the birds and the beasts. I'll raise you one better, Mr. 10-foot undefeated champion from Gath. I mean, Eliab, if he's heard this, shouldn't have made that shepherd comment again. David seems a little fired up. See, the thing is there's power in our words. We've heard that from David. We've heard that from our leaders for years now. There's power in our words. Goliath tries to come at him with words, and David speaks right to the giant. David isn't speaking kind of over the giant. Maybe to you, good sir, that's kind of my height on the far left line. I'm not speaking to you. He's speaking right at that giant that's in his face. Speak right to it and run right through it.
Wow, good.
See, David has been drawing on what God has done to know what God will do. Giant, Goliath, you can show up. You can say whatever you want. You can talk until your face is blue. I've seen God rescue me from the paw of the lion. I've seen God rescue me from the paw of the bear. And I'll see him rescue me from you. You can say whatever you want, but I know who God is, and I know who God will be. See, the Israelites, they used to do this thing. They would build, they would call them altars. We would probably call them monuments, okay? You know, for example, when they finally came out of Egypt, they crossed the Jordan River, they finally got to the Promised Land, they stopped and built an altar. They basically gathered a bunch of rocks and put them together. They were great in fashion and detail back then. And so they gathered all these rocks. And why did they do that? They said, so that every time we see that, we remember what God has done. We remember. Why? Because we've got a propensity to forget what God has done every time a giant shows up in our life. See, the Israelites knew that about us. We have the propensity to forget what God has done, but if we remember what God has done, it affects how we live moving forward. Yeah. See, the Lord has kind of challenged me on this. A couple weeks ago, he's like, Philip, I want you to build a scrapbook of all the times I've shown up and been faithful in your life. And some of y'all judge me for building a scrapbook. Back off. Me and the Lord got on Amazon.com. We used our Prime thing. I ordered a scrapbooking kit. It came in, and I had no idea what I'm doing, but I got through it. I got through it. I built it. There's like little tabs. You plug them in and glue it. I don't know, but the pictures got on the pages, people. Okay? The pictures got on the pages. And so I did that. Right here. It's right here. It's right here. And so the next time a giant shows up in my life and starts wanting to try to rob me of my faith, I can go, I've seen God be faithful, page one. I've seen God be faithful, page two. I've seen God be faithful, page three. I've seen God be faithful, page four. And you get to page 11, and rather than your faith being robbed, you go, I happen to have an opening on page 11 for my newest circumstance. See, some of us need to remember what God has done to speak to that newest circumstance in our life. But none of the Israelite army happened to have a scrapbook they got from Amazon.com that day. But thank goodness, or we might not have the story. Some of you have walked in today and you have a circumstance or you have a giant that's robbing you of your faith. And today is your day where you stop, you sit down, and you remember the faithfulness of God. You may not want to build a scrapbook. Maybe you need to put some pictures up in your house. Or maybe you need to get a journal and you need to write it out. Or maybe you need to make a slideshow. I don't know what you need to do, but I do know you need to remember the faithfulness of God. So you might not have a giant waiting out there for you today when you leave these doors, but he's going to show up in your life at some point. And when he shows up, you need to be ready to remember the faithfulness of God so that you're able to speak right to that giant in your life. And you need to be able to say, I've seen God rescue me from the paw of the lion. I've seen God rescue me from the paw of the bear. And I'm going to see God rescue me from this new giant. Verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. No, it's on. David is like, I'm backing up my words, bro. Ran quickly to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out this stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. I want you to picture this. I want you to read the Bible like it's real, because it is. I want you to picture this going on. For weeks, the Philistines show up. Goliath comes out, defies the army. They break their battle lines. They probably showed up today. They make those same, they're probably not in the right order. They're thinking about what they're going to do to party that night. The Philistine army is probably all casual. The Israelite army is like, oh gosh, this kid's going to get free from taxes, you know? And so they're out wondering, this is the best we've got. They're probably not in their right battle lines. And Goliath steps forward. We're going to handle this. And then you see David take off running at him. And you're like, oh my. You start looking at your friend down the battle line. You start looking back over here. And before you can even look back at your friend, something has come out of David's hand. And the giant is down on the ground. I wonder if when Goliath hit that ground, I wonder if there was audible silence for a couple seconds. The Philistines looking for him to get back up. Surely he's tripped. The Israelite army, surely he's tripped. Looking around, but David wastes no time. He's taken him down with a stone. Remember, what did Goliath do? He insulted him for the weapons he chose. Insulted him for using the things that the Lord had used him to build confidence in. David was confident in his sling and his stone. Goliath insulted him for that confidence. I wonder when it finally sunk in for the Philistine army that they had put their faith in the wrong giant. See, maybe you have walked in today and the Lord is challenging you. You've put your faith in the wrong giant. Goliath could have been 62-0, undefeated, on paper. Vegas wouldn't even put a betting line on it because it was such a sure thing. Maybe you've walked in here today and you're putting your faith in the wrong giant. You may win 62 times, but there's going to be eventually a day where that wrong giant falls. And you're going to be exposed for putting your faith in the wrong giant. David walked in that day with bread and cheese, but his faith was in the living God who is willing and able, who's still doing the things that they read about before them, who's still doing the things we read about in the Bible. He's still doing those things today. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Verse 51, David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from its scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines. To grow in our faith, we must take no prisoners. We must take no prisoners. How did David handle things? When a lion showed up in his field, he killed it. When a bear showed up in his field, he killed it. When a giant showed up in his life, he killed it. We've got to stop making compromises with sin and circumstances in our life. Jesus didn't come down on the earth and go, here's my example, guys. Come out. If something's a little difficult, just make a compromise. Just sweep it under the rug. Don't deal with it and move on. As long as you're pretty good, we'll get it done. Jesus came down and said, my standard is you are all in. 100%. There's not 99% option. There's not 50% option. We even have a 10% model. If you're just willing to try a little bit, we'll just count you in. Jesus said, my standard is 100%. I've got a clear plan. You follow me, but we're asking for all in. Some of you may have walked in today and you're trying to get by on the Christian model of I give 10%, that's what I tithe, and so I'll give God 10% of all these other areas of my life, and you're expecting God to show up and take down giants when you're not following what he's called you to. Yeah. If you want to see God show up and take down giants in your life, you've got to be all in.
Yeah, come on.
You've got to be all in. You can't be giving 50% and trying to hope and put your faith in a God, because you know what? You're seeing 50% of God. You're seeing 10% of God, and you're wondering why you think you serve a small God. You have to take no prisoners if you want to grow in your faith. Make no compromises with sin and circumstances. The only one you serve is the living God who is willing and able. Willing and able. Do you notice that one great move of faith changed that whole battle? One guy stepping out with great faith, and he says before it, everyone here, he knows who he's talking about. He's talking about everyone behind him, including the king of Israel. Everyone is going to see who God is after this. Everyone. He knew nobody behind him had the faith. He knew when he ran quickly at that giant, it was just his faith. There was no one behind him. He was all in. He took down that giant, and what ends up happening is the same army that had broken their battle lines for weeks, we're told, surges forward with a shout, and they pursued the Philistines. You may have walked in here today, and because of giants or circumstances in your life, you get up in the morning with the best of intentions, but by the end of the day, your battle lines have broken. You may have walked in here today like that. My battle lines have broken. My faith wanes. I call you, rally to the Lord. Return to your battle lines. Remember who you serve. It is a living God who is willing and able to move through you. Don't try to pass it off on somebody that sits down from you. Don't try to pass it off on the pastor. He's willing and able to move through you. Yeah. Specifically, I'm talking to you. Don't try to look at somebody down the aisle from you. Talking to you. He's willing and able to move through you. Rally to the Lord.
Yeah.
Answer the battle cry. Return to your battle lines. You may have a giant that is waiting for you. You know that circumstance is waiting for you. As soon as you get out of those doors, you walked in here and your battle lines are breaking. But if you just remember the faithfulness of God, you may have walked in here as somebody whose battle lines are breaking, but you can walk out of here as somebody that is surging forward with the shout to pursue your enemy, because it's no longer your perspective holding you back but pushing you forward, because you remember the faithfulness of God. You've gone from being me-focused, what my circumstances can do to me, to knowing I serve a God who's able to speak right to my circumstance and deal with them.
Good.
Rally to the Lord. Return to your battle lines today. I pray that for you. I'm going to turn it over to David. But return to your battle lines.
Thank God. Let's all stand together. Wow, that was so good.